Christmas is only 15 days away, and many children are making lists and rummaging through the house to find stashed away gifts. There are campaigns to collect toys for children in need, like Toys for Tots and Clark's Kids. But what about children who are in the care of the Department of Juvenile Justice? Children who are away from home, their family, their friends, because they have committed a crime. Avery Niles is the commissioner of the Georgia Department of Juvenile Justice. He needs the community, your support, to help make the season brighter for the young people in the 26 secure DJJ facilities. Commissioner Niles, thank you so much for being with me.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having us.
Well, what is the mission of the Department of Juvenile Justice?
Of course, I start out by saying the mission is fluid. It flows from rehabilitation, from education, and all of the program of services that take up to get the kids focused back on so that they can be productive when they return back to their residence. We have some of the most challengeable kids and some of the most bright kids that come from a traditional school and or private school that find themselves on this side of justice. And the unique thing that we do, we maintain that particular education level with our students so that when they transition back out into their home school, those kids have not lost anything. Matter of fact, they may have gained because of the opportunity of that seat time that those kids are required to get. And they're just unfortunate that they find themselves on this side of justice. But education is the key. And we have a tremendous opportunity to engage this kid at a level so that when he or she gets ready to re-enter our community, they are better and they make better choices not to reoffend or get deeper in our system. And we do that by our education.
Now, students can earn a GED or diploma through the SACS-accredited Department of Juvenile Justice School. I mean, it comes complete with a graduation ceremony, cap and gown. When we return, more about young offenders and the regional youth development centers and the youth development centers. That's coming up on the new KISS 104.1, today's R&B and throwbacks. You're listening to the new KISS 104.1, today's R&B and throwbacks. I'm Monica Pearson. Earlier this week, I spoke to Avery Niles, the commissioner of the Georgia Department of Juvenile Justice, about what happens to children who commit crimes. Where are they kept?
ATL.
They have some 26 facilities in the Department of Juvenile Justice all over the state of Georgia. And that's where the children are. Now, there are two different types of facilities. There are the RYDC youth development.
We have 26 facilities. They're broken down into like a regional. And I usually tell people a regional youth detention facility is similar to like a city or county jail. Short-term placement, and then a YDC youth development center is long-term. So when a kid is adjudicated, when in a traditional courtroom, when an adult is found guilty, they send them to prison. Well, in our system, when a kid is adjudicated in juvenile court, then they are sent to our YDCs. And we have 9 of those throughout this state, whereas we have 19 of the other RYDCs.
I guess this is the time for me to say I should let folks know my husband is in charge of the YDCs
as the deputy commissioner.
And he's the one who got me involved in this story, getting you in here.
Well, and I thank him.
Because I really didn't understand how much was needed by these children who are in the system. How many children are we talking about? I know most of them have committed misdemeanors versus felonies. So what kind of offenses are we talking about?
And before I get into that, I want to make sure that I give my props to the governor who has reshaped the way that kids come into our system from an RYDC into the YDC to where juvenile justice reform has really taken a positive step in the correction industry, both in the adult arena as well as the juvenile justice arena. And when we look at how those kids, you mentioned about those kids that's charged with misdemeanor offenses versus felony. with juvenile justice reform several years ago, before we even started this, we were locking up, or our state was locking up a lot of kids that were very, very low risk to reoffend and had very high needs. Those needs, whether it's mental health treatment, substance abuse treatment, and all the other things of treatment to make sure that that kid is stable in an environment, those were the type of kids that were coming. And so we had a lot of kids sitting in our RYDCs, very low risk to reoffend, but had very high needs. And then you take a person that comes in our system that had very, 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 very high risk to reoffend in the same environment with that person. And you know, at the end of the day, who's going to be the one that's controlling? And so the reforms have pushed out services in every community in this state of Georgia. Every community in the state of Georgia has at least one, if not more, program services that's being provided at the state taxpayers' dollar to get the kids to treatment of services. In the areas of our metro, you see more services. In our rural areas, you see a lot less services. But the governor wanted to make sure that every county in this state at least had services for these kids. And we have done that. And what you see now is you see where we have a lot of kids that's coming in that's high to reoffend, and we providing services, and we have roughly under 800 of those type kids in our YDCs, long care facilities. In our short term facilities, it's under the 600 level. And the reason that's been, you have more of the serious offenders coming in now, and they're staying longer in our RYDC because of the charges that they're charged with. And when they get adjudicated or found guilty in a adult system, but in the juvenile, it's adjudication. And when they find themselves on this side of justice, then we're obligated to make certain that those services are provided so that the kids have better outcomes. And some of our kids that come in our system are charged with murder. Some of our kids that come in are charged with other offenses leading up to the murder, such as aggravated assault, armed robbery, and all of the things that if a kid was 17 or older, they may or may not be facing 20-plus years.
That's Commissioner Avery Niles from the Georgia Department of Juvenile Justice. Now, in the next hour, how girls end up in the system. Today's R&B and throwbacks. Continuing my conversation earlier this week with Commissioner Avery Niles, he told me some girls are in the juvenile system because they were abused and then retaliated or were used in the illegal drug trade. Last year, nearly 300 girls were in the care of the Georgia Department of Juvenile Justice, and 70 were serving long-term sentences. Are you seeing an increase in the number of girls coming into the system? And if so, why is that happening?
Well, and that's an excellent question, because sometime, and I remember, and my background is been in law enforcement, some 30 plus years of dealing with public safety. And you're seeing the trends go up and down as it relates to females getting involved in the criminal justice arena as well as the juvenile justice arena. Our girls are being manipulated by males and doing some of the crimes or committing offenses that they're been told to do or provided or led to do the various crimes. We do see a downward spiral in our girls' population as it relates to incarceration. Thank God for that. I grew up in Gainesville, and I grew up in a single family home with my mother. And so I have a strong passion for girls, and I'm very, very concerned about how girls are being manipulated into sex trafficking, as well as to violate the crimes. There was a time when girls would be the ones that was holding the drugs for the guys. And the various reasons why that was. But you see now our girls that's coming in our system are bright young ladies, and they're focused on their education. Speaking of that, I had one girl, and I tell this real quick, had one girl that was sex trafficked, abused as a teenager, came to us, and we got her on the right track. She went on to join the military, changed her whole life, and we still constantly keep in contact with her. She lives in another state, has two bright kids, and she tells everybody the reason that she is on the track that she is because she ran into a bald head guy at the Department of Juvenile Justice that took up time to come and check on her.
You have a passion for these kids.
Yes,
really
I do.
I
really do, because here's the reason why. Because when I was growing up, there was opportunities for individuals to get involved in kids' lives, especially those individuals that had no father figure. And when you look at a lot of the kids that come into our system, there's no male positive role model in their lives. And it's all about relationships. And when I was growing up, I had a coach, and my brother took time out with me. And not just with me, but other guys that I ran with. And that made a difference in the outcomes. And when I started in law enforcement, I wanted to work with kids. And so I put my platform together to where I wanted to be an investigator to make difference. And so I joined the sheriff's office, worked through the ranks, and got promoted to go into the juvenile investigations. And my focus at that time was to take care of kids that could not take care of themselves, and set up opportunities so that those kids that have been victims become victors, and prayed about the next level. And when the governor came in office and he asked me to take on this role, it's a blessing that I'm grateful for, and still carrying on how Georgians can help support the kids that's incarcerated, that's not physically incarcerated by being behind the wire, but mentally. When you have over 70% of the kids that come into your system that have mental health issues, how do you provide services for them on the level in which they can get it? Well, come and join us at the Department of Juvenile Justice, and you'll see how we're changing lives one kid at a time. And we're not only changing his lives, but we're changing the lives in which he's a family member of. And it's so rewarding when you see a kid cross the stage and he or she is the only kid in their family that have ever graduated from school. And to see how their parents and loved ones are so excited, but yet providing the services that the kids need to be successful, it's all worth it at the end.
Now, I want you to continue listening, because I'm going to tell you how you can become directly involved with these children who are in the juvenile justice system. KISS 104.1. Today's R&B and Throwbacks. I'm Monica Pearson. Our conversation continues now with a small change in the juvenile justice system that makes a big difference later in the life of a child who served time. It removes the stigma. Here's Commissioner Avery Niles.
When we first came in office, we approached the governor. Everything that I've asked him for our kids, he have funded that 100% of his backing. An example of that is, how do we transition the mindset of our kids have changed when they have a high school diploma? When we first started this back in 2012, I think it was, kids graduate from our system, and on their transcript, on their diploma, it says Georgia Department of Juvenile Justice. Now, kids 30-year-old and trying to seek employment, and wherever he or she lands, they want a copy of their high school diploma and or transcript. Well, you taking baggage with you, and it's a reminder of what you've done. And now you're an adult, but you're reminded every day when you look at your diploma. And so we approached the governor with it, and he 100% said he supported, and now our diplomas and transcript read Georgia Preparatory Academy. And so those kids that ventured off into our system, their system, their records don't have to relive that. And here's a unique thing that I can tell our listeners is get involved with our kids, get in from a legal perspective and challenge our system. Why is it that we leave some kids and that when they leave us, no one ever educate the kid on how to go through the proper expungement and how to get their record sealed so that record don't show up to where it's a system to where you've done that and all of a sudden now every time it's brought back up or it's thrown back up in your face when the governor has said that at state employment for our adults and the kids that can work, you can check that box. You can ban the box on some cases.
So that's what the state has done. But what can you, you who are listening to me right now, what can you do to help these children during the holidays and year round? And most importantly, why you do want to help them. It's all part of the commissioner's challenge. And I'll have that for you when we return. Now let's go back to our topic today, and that's the Department of Juvenile Justice and their needs for the holiday system. The Commissioner Avery Niles is on a mission. He is issuing a challenge to the community to provide more to the children in his care, especially during the holidays, in spite of the crimes they may have committed.
Well, one of the services you want to provide and have issued a challenge, the commissioner's challenge, is to remember these children during the holidays. So let's deal with the naysayers first. You know, people who will say, well, they've been in trouble. They committed a crime. They don't deserve any Christmas. They just need to be there and serve their time. How do you respond to that?
I responded in two phases. One is from my religious background, and that's Christ gave me a second chance. And another chance, and another chance. And when you look at our kids that come in our system, yeah, they may have been charged with crimes that they created victims out here. Do you want to leave them in a position in which nobody is providing hope that they can get up, hope that they can make a difference, hope that they can grow to be a productive citizen? And so if you have an opportunity while somebody is down to where you can reach down and provide for them, and I usually tell our people, and you have heard me say it, each one, reach one, teach one, keep one. If each one of us can reach one of them, and them is not necessarily the ones that's incarcerated, ones that needs care, teach them the facts of life. Teach them what hope is all about. You'll keep them. Each one, reach one, teach one, keep one. And when you look at those kids that come in our system, someone have cut off relationships. And the ones that have a relationship have built that relationship with somebody's negative. And those negative and bad choices have led them on our side of justice. But that's not to say that we can't reach out and provide for our kids because they are challenged by their brain development. And our kids, with just like all kids, it's all about relationship, it's all about environment. And it's about how their brain hadn't developed until they reached the age, in some cases, 25. And we're talking about 13 to 21-year-olds that's in our system. And they're still our kids that made bad choices. And so with that, we got to replace that negative attitude with positive outcomes. And so that's what I would say to those individuals that are doubting that these kids don't deserve Christmas or deserve a care package.
So what's in the care package? It's only $25, but what is it?
So the care package, it's self-explanatory as it relates to the personal hygiene. A couple of years ago, when I was delivering care packages for our girls down at one of our facilities, I had went out and purchased a lot of the little type of lotion that, my daughter likes to smell with or smell in. And so I purchased a lot of those items, and I wish you could have been with me just to see the girls' faces when they opened the bottle and put lotion on. Something simple as lotion that you get in the hotel areas that you don't use. Just to smell good. So we have lotion, we have toiletries, we have shampoo. You know, the state, we provide the basics.
But they're just basics.
They are basics. And in this care package, there's items that that just make the kids. And you got to understand, Niles, why would you want a care package? Well, why not? And in that packet, it's love. In that packet, it's showing the kids that you deserve more than just the basics. In that packet, it's not necessarily hope, but hope is there because someone took the time out of their schedule to think about the least of these. And in that packet, there's happiness. There's a smile. $25 is not asking a lot for this time. When you're looking at a kid, when you're looking at kids that's in situations to where they never get visits.
And you do have children who never get visits.
Have children that stay with me 5 years and never see their loved one. And here's the thought or the thinking behind those type kids to where they have changed. The kid themselves have changed. And ready to reintegrate into society. We have gotten them their diploma, high school diploma. We have gotten them special traits through our technical colleges, our partners there, whether that's horticulture, whether that's
hair cosmetology.
Cosmetology, all those type programs that a person can walk in any of our technical colleges and get those same type of certificates. We have gotten these individuals ready. We have put programming. We have challenged them to become productive. But is the community itself ready to receive that changed person? And that's when you have... on the adult side, you have healing communities where our churches have provided a beacon of hope for these type individuals that's transitioning from confinement back into the community, providing jobs and job opportunities, providing them a place if they're homeless. A lot of our kids in the state of Georgia, not just the ones that cross the threshold of juvenile justice, but children in general are homeless. Just ride around the metro area and you'll see homeless at its best. But when we have situations to where our kids are ready to transition out and have no place to go, and they ask you or they write you, Commissioner, is there any hope for me to where my family have not came to see me? And Commissioner, I don't want to go back into the environment that got me in here. I have changed. I want to do right. There's no positive role model in my life. Can you be my mentor? Can you come by and check on me? Because, Commissioner, if you don't, I may find myself in a situation in an adult prison, and or I may get killed because of the environment that I'm going to go back in. And those are tough type letters that I read. Those are tough type conversations that I have, not only a daily basis, but probably whenever I go visit facilities. And when you see the nightmare that's happening in front of you, that's why we have to have in Georgia transitional homes for our kids to participate to where when you get ready to transition kids and they're ready, but there's no place ready to receive them.
Transitional housing is on Avery Niles' Christmas wish list, as is the Hope Scholarship.
for eligible graduates from the Georgia Preparatory Academy. Stay with us. Coming up, the address to make your donation for a $25 care package that's on the new KISS 104.1. Today's R&B and throwbacks. Well, the Christmas spirit needs to be around year-round, according to Department of Juvenile Justice Commissioner Avery Niles. He says he has goals that you can help him reach with the children who are in his custody.
I have five different key areas for volunteers, as well as our staff members. Express your care. We want to challenge our kids' growth. We want to provide them with support. We want to share in our power that we have. And then the last one is expand our possibilities. And I take the last one first. How, when you're talking to a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, and you concentrate on expanding the possibility for that particular child, how do you do that? Well, you do it by open. You do it by creating an avenue so that that kid can see beyond the wire. They can see beyond their current circumstances. And we done it. We got up, we got out, and we made a difference. Share power. How do we share power to the powerless? Well, it's kind of like my football coach told me. You have 10 other people that you're responsible for if you're the quarterback on offense. And if you're on defense, that whoever's in charge of it, you have 10 other guys. You direct them where you need them to go. Our kids are hungry for direction. And if you got time, you got time to provide direction for our kid and provide them with support. How does one provide with support? Just like the chair I'm sitting in. When I sat down in it, I was hoping and praying that that chair would support me. When you walk in and you confront or have a chance to sit down with a child, the support that you have by you being there is one positive message in that child's life. Maybe you're the only female or male positive other than the officers that work with this kid that really take time out to support them in the good time and in the bad time. When they do things wrong, be there to support the decisions that need to be made to keep them from doing wrong again. And when it's happy times, be there to help celebrate. Support them when they cross that stage and get that certificate or that diploma. And then the challenge of growth. Okay, you're here today, but I need for you to move the needle, just like what we do in our own home or with our own employees. Don't be stuck on status quo. Challenge them to move from where they are to the next level. And when they come in and as a volunteer and sit down with our kids, challenge them with the support, challenge them with the growth, challenge them with express care. That express care, which is first, but I'm doing it last, the express care is showing where that regardless of the file, you're not focusing in on the file, you're focusing in on the face that holds the file. And when you look at that, you're looking not only just the face in the file, but you're sharing and looking at their heart. Because I'm telling you, if you spend time with our kids, it's rewarding to you to see them grow.
Commissioner, thank you so much for being here today. And for those of you who want to know how to get involved with the Department of Juvenile Justice, go to the KISS Facebook page, and I will have a link for you so that, one, you can give your $25 and get that care package together. And two, so you can volunteer your time. This is not only for individuals, but for community groups. Again, Commissioner, thank you for being here.
Thank you much for having us.
So again, if you'd like to invest in a child for just $25, go to ga-djjdonations.com. Again, ga-djjdonations.com. I will post the information on the KISS 104.1 Facebook page in just a minute. Well, that's it for me. Next week, oh, do I have a show for you. Love Rolls. This is the project started by a 15-year-old girl to help the homeless. And now that she's 17, this idea of hers is spreading around the country. Check us up next, and I leave you with the words of my Mama Hattie.
It's what you do, what you have that makes you what you are. Don't make excuses, make work. Enjoy the rest of your day here on the new Kiss 104.1. Today's R&B and throwbacks.